Good afternoon. My name is Andrea Pride. I'm the Senior Technical Manager on the Insurance Contracts Project, and I have with me here Elke Koenig, one of the board members. We're here to report back on the IASB-FASB joint meeting held in Norwalk last week, the October meeting, and I think it's fair to say that that meeting was largely focused on the changes to the premium allocation approach, the eligibility criteria for short duration contracts, which mainly deals with non-life business. No decisions were made at that meeting, but I thought, Elke, perhaps you could keep us up to date with what progress we did make on this topic.
Well, I think we made quite substantial progress when it comes to considering how we want to describe which contracts are eligible for what we call, for the time being, premium allocation approach, or you could call it short duration, or potentially, but that's with a question mark, property casualty or non-life business. And I think staff did a great job in considering that it's not a reasonable distinction to say you're going for contracts with a duration of 1 year or less, but rather to ask yourself, why do you want to use a shortcut to the full model? Keep in mind, we've always said it is just one model for measuring insurance contracts, but we want to stay here closer to what, well, I think everyone is used out of the traditional way how, especially non-life business, was accounted for. And then you need to ask yourself, well, what are the reasons? Where do you get roughly the same answer that way? And I think to that extent, staff tried to come up with criteria, and Andrea is probably too polite not to say and send staff back in trying to find better words for it. We like the criteria, but we didn't like the words. So one of the criteria is whenever a contract has a fixed life or coverage period, well, then you are able to allocate the premium over your coverage period. The other one is whenever you precisely know how the premium is to be allocated over the coverage period, then you have probably with any type of pro rata or per risk allocation of premium a similar answer. And otherwise, you go for the full, what we call building block approach, and go for a net insurance liability, meaning that you take the cash inflows and cash outflows and update them on a consequent on subsequent measurement dates. So I think basically good progress made, but a lot of homework for staff in front, which was, by the way, confirmed by the insurance working group that liked, I think, the idea, but added some unhappiness about the way it was worded. We are still looking for volunteers to come up with the right words.
Yes, that's right, Elke. And I think I would add one more criteria really to the ones that you've listed there, and it comes into that last point you had about when you go back and remeasure. So it would be where the remeasurement makes a difference.
Yeah.
And in terms of the wording, it was clear from both the board meeting and the insurance working group meeting that it's going to be important that we test out any new words and show how we would apply them to different types of
exactly.
Contracts. Yes. Another major part of the meeting last week was on presentation, both
okay.
on the Statement of Comprehensive Income and on the balance sheet or Statement of Financial Position.
Well, I think to be a bit also critical with what board members do, I think we went in full circle on the Statement of Financial Position. Sorry. The balance sheet. On the balance sheet, my sense is we asked staff to draft it, but staff will most likely come back to us that we have a bit too much on the balance sheet and a bit too little in the notes. But I think also there we'll have another chance to test it. When it comes to what you would traditionally call the P&L, I think we had various models. You have seen them in previous meetings too. And one board member was kind enough to say they looked like worksheets and spreadsheets, which I think, in fairness, they were, because staff tried to make sure how to allocate which numbers out of a given example to which line, but one of the board members came up with a by far more reduced proposal, and I think the overall leaning was a bit towards that proposal, which ties in, and I think that's at least what the ISB board in majority, I think, was lending to, into IS1, in not prescribing the format, but rather saying what's minimum requirements for the primary statement and what would otherwise be in the notes. No decision taken, but I think a lot of helpful debate, hopefully. Well, you can't see Andrea now, otherwise you would see a bit of face that's a bit questioning my comment.
No, not at all. I think there was a broad leaning towards being less prescriptive. I think there was a lot of sympathy among both boards about the situation of conglomerates or entities that combine insurance operations with other operations. So I think that's right. The other topic we dealt with at last week's meeting was a scope question, and this really rounds out a discussion we'd had back in, I think it was February or March, on fixed fee service contracts.
And I think we just confirmed the proposal that staff had to try to carve out fixed fee contracts from the insurance standard. Again, a bit of discussion about make sure that you're not putting someone into the position to apply an insurance model for whom this is just not fit for purpose.
Yeah. Okay, so that was the board meeting last week. You've already alluded to the insurance working group meeting, which happened on the 24th of October. Would you like to say a few words about what happened there?
Well, the insurance working group meeting was, I think, the third meeting we had in this year, and it had one overarching topic, and that was evaluating ideas how to address volatility in presentation, or to name it OCI. I think it's worth mentioning, and I think Joanna did it in her tee-up for that presentation, to say that we have already addressed volatility in numerous ways in this project. We have changed the way, or have made more explicit the way how you should go for the discount rate, which should help to address volatility to some extent. We have discussed already in a previous board meeting PAR contracts, so with profits contracts on the life side, which should be a mean to address volatility for a huge number of life contracts. And I think it's worthwhile, before we even go into the main content of this meeting, to say that yesterday the insurance working group also confirmed that the proposals on PAR are helpful, are addressing volatility. So this is something which is, I think, to be ticked off already. Again, the devil is in the detail. When it comes to addressing volatility in presentation, I think we had two industry participants presenting. The one is the so-called hub group that is unifying American, Asian, some European insurers. I would say it's fair to say with a focus on the life insurance industry. And the other one was coming from the CFO Forum and the CEA. Those are is an entirely European body, actually the CFO Forum being the 20 largest international insurance companies domiciled in Europe. I think they were uniform in their approach that their main model was a current through OCI, meaning that on the balance sheet you've your assets as well as your liabilities basically on current values, and you take all unsustainable volatility through OCI. And just to repeat myself, the devil's in the detail, because we had a very long discussion about what is then the cutoff point, so what's the true volatility that needs to go through P&L and what's the part of the, let's call it, market noise that you could store somehow in OCI. What is, I think, also important to say is there was no disalignment that you need a thorough impairment testing for the assets as well as for the liabilities. Not for your balance sheet because you're current, but for when to recycle from OCI into your P&L. And I think a lot of the debate was going around different ideas there. Staff took a lot of notes, took a lot of topics home, and will probably present this to the board, but I think no one should expect that to happen in November, and I would still consider it a miracle if it happens in December. There was also mentioning of a cost-cost model, and at least two industry representatives strongly made their case in saying that if you've got all the market noise, even in OCI, it still might be something that will make your OCI bounce around quite a lot. But I think there was also a clear understanding that this might be addressed by disclosure, which anyhow would have to complement a model like this. And now, before everyone gets totally confused, when we started that debate, and Andrea is best suited than me to answer, actually to explain that, we asked the industry representatives to think outside the box. Because, keep in mind, IFRS 9 is the standard that rules how you go for your assets, and IFRS 9 has got is a business model approach, and you are either current, or you're on amortized cost. So what we discussed yesterday would be something that would need further consideration, whether it would be a confined change to IFRS 9 for insurance assets, whether it's something more. So I think I would not think that this was an easy discussion. It was a very helpful discussion, but it's nothing where you could easily say, now we've got a solution, we just need to draft it.
Yeah, I think that's right, Helka, and I think it was clear from yesterday's discussion that this quite a lot of detail to be ironed out there. And I think we had asked the industry representatives to think as widely as they could about this problem, because I think that's important in helping us understand where the problems are and how potential solutions might match up to them. We heard a very clear message that the favoured solution was current through OCI, and we'll be exploring ways to achieve that as best we can within the confines that we have. Of course, there were other topics on the agenda yesterday. We shared some drafting, as we've always promised the working group, on a number of areas: cash flows, discount rate, risk adjustment disclosures, and in particular on the contract boundary, because I think that was the one most of all that we've heard concerns that there might be unintended consequences.
Yeah. I think there people have to keep in mind that we didn't get much pushback on the contract boundary definition in the exposure draft. It came from some industries, so we tried to accommodate their concerns and created a bit angst around whether we had some unintended consequences. I think in a nutshell, yesterday people seemed to be fairly happy with the definition, but they wanted to check the one or the other product to make sure that we're not pushing something into the one or the other box which was not intended. But I think this was, as always, and as like the drafting topics, it was something really we've always promised we share the drafting on those areas, and now they come back to us. And I think we should also invite really everyone. Those papers are public. If you see something which you think we've omitted or where we might need to reconsider, just send us an email or try to get in contact with us. I think the last topic we had on the agenda was on reinsurance.
Well, we also talked about the premium allocation approach, but you already mentioned that in the earlier part, because that feedback was largely consistent with the board meeting anyway. So Yes, reinsurance was the remaining topic I think we should cover today.
Yeah, and I think before people get a bit confused in saying, well, we covered that already during a board meeting, why again? I think in fairness, during that board meeting, we got a very kind, after the board meeting, we got a very kind reminder of the reinsurance companies, the largest reinsurance companies, unanimously thought that we had a bit shortcut their arguments on one specific topic. And I even remember that we had another webcast on this topic, which is how to measure the reinsurance asset on the cedent's balance sheet. So the share that is of insurance claims or insurance liability that is ceded to the reinsurer. And it's just the question, do you, when measuring this asset, reflect all building blocks in line with the insurer's assumptions on the liability side, or do you use the reinsurance price as one of the inputs into the reinsurance asset? Or, to put it the other way around, what's happening for the delta between the share of the insurance liability that goes to the reinsurer and the price the reinsurer charges? Does the gain or loss get deferred in this asset, or does it get charged straight away to the P&L? And I think that was a discussion which I think was helpful. Some arguments exchanged, and like on some other topics, people said, well, we need to run different products through this assumption also to see how it could possibly work. Can we really make all the needed assumptions there? So a bit work brought home, as you can expect from any insurance working group. But I think overall it was a very helpful meeting. It was a very constructive meeting with a lot of thought things to be considered.
Yes, and I think one of the things which I certainly appreciated in that meeting was an indication. We'd been left uncertain at the last working group meeting whether the proposals on participating contracts were going to be helpful, and yeah. I think we heard quite a clear indication that that would be the case. Okay, so I think that's an overview of two meetings now. Perhaps a few words on next steps. We've put some drafting and a report back on previous board decisions out in the working group papers, as Elke mentioned, and I'd really just like to reiterate we would welcome comments from everyone, not just insurance working group members, on those documents. Either send an email or get in touch with us after one of the meetings. The next joint IASB-FASB meeting is on the 1st of November, but there are no plans at this point anyway to bring any insurance papers to that meeting. So that means that the next time we're going to discuss insurance will be in the main November meeting, I think on the week of the 16th of November.
Yes, and I think, again, as I thought, as said before, don't expect us to bring, I won't at least expect staff to bring the question on how to address volatility in presentation at that meeting. I think that would be just too much for a fairly short period of time to prepare a paper.
I think that would be a big ask, even at the pace we've been working at recently.
Yes.
So with that, I'd just like to say thank you very much, Elke, for giving us your views on the overview of the meeting, and goodbye till next time.
Goodbye.